Last week, we started in on something new because Pastor Kevin gave me the grace to not preach on Revelations and to pick something that I wanted to preach on, which was fun and good and a lot more difficult than I imagined. The title of the series is Out of the Whirlwind, and last week we looked at the reality of suffering and pain in our world. The fact that we live in a world that is broken because of sin, and so there is suffering, and we face that in our lives. But that in that suffering, there is great hope. And so last week we talked a little bit about a couple of ditches that we can fall into as we approach this idea of suffering and hope. One of which is to say that our hope only has a future aspect to it, that it is something that we will only see when we see Jesus face to face. But that doesn't take into account the present hope that he's given us now. Another ditch that we could fall into is to think that if we just follow Jesus well enough, if we just have enough faith, then we will get a pass on suffering. But if we've lived long enough, we know that even as believers, we will face trials, we will face troubles. Jesus tells us that. And so as we come to this idea of suffering and how we approach it, we have to be careful that we do it well, because it affects how we portray this hope that we've been given in Christ. Because the world is watching, and they're watching to see, does this Jesus that you talk so much about, does he really have an answer for the suffering that I'm facing? Does he really have an answer for the suffering that we see around our world? Last week, I asked you the question that I think is one of the hardest questions for Christians to answer, and that is, how are you? Because so often we can get in this space where we feel like to be a faithful follower of Jesus, we have to always have a smile on our face. We always have to say, yeah, God is good. And yes, we know that. Absolutely, God is always good. But we can begin thinking that it is less than faithful to be sad, to be angry, to have questions, to wonder why, God, or how long, God, are you going to allow me to walk through this? To lament, to cry out to God in our pain and our anguish. But in reality, these aren't questions that reflect a lack of faith. These are questions that cause us to press in closer to Jesus. When we say, God, I know your word says this. I know that you are good. I know that you are faithful, but I don't feel it right now. You see, when we put on this mask, when we simply say the things we think we're supposed to say, we end up building this wall between us and Jesus, where we know Jesus died for us. We know that he bore our pain, our suffering, our sin on the cross. We can walk through life thinking, okay, Jesus, I know that. And we put out our arm and we think that we have to hide our brokenness from him, that we have to hide our doubts, our questions from him, that we have to hide our sorrows and our anger and our pain from him. But the reality is that Jesus wants to meet us in those things. He doesn't expect us to get it all together on our own. He doesn't expect us to all of a sudden overnight have it all together and be perfect. He wants to meet us in our brokenness. He wants to meet us in our pain and our suffering. And when we lament, when we cry out to him in all honesty, when we express our pain and our frustration, he meets us. And we see that in Job, a man who had everything taken from him, his possessions, his kids. And really, I was thinking about this this morning, even his wife coming to him and saying, just curse God and die. He lost everything. And it was in his lament and his crying out to God that God met him and spoke to him out of the whirlwind. Here's what I want us to focus on this morning, is that in our pain, in our suffering, Jesus is present. And because he is present, we have a hope now. And that hope that he brings us in the present, it allows us to see more clearly the hope that we will one day have when we see him face to face. As we look through the book of Job, as we read through the book of Job and we read his story, as we look at the dialogue that he has back and forth with his friends, as they're condemning him and saying, you must have sinned because all this evil is happening to you. You must have done something wrong because the wicked suffer and the righteous prosper. As he's defending himself, he says, no, there's nothing. And I don't understand why this is going on. As he's questioning God, God, where are you? Why are you allowing this to happen? I don't understand it. As we read through this, we get these glimmers of hope that Job has. Listen to this from Job chapter 16, verse 19. Even now, behold, my witness is in heaven, and he who testifies more for me is on high. Job 19, 23 to 27. Oh, that my words were written down. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and lead they were engraved in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself. And my eyes shall behold and not another. You see, even in the midst of his pain and his suffering, even in the midst of his questions, he had this hope that God was still there. He had this hope, I have a witness in heaven. I have a Redeemer who lives. As we lament, as we walk through suffering, we do not mourn as those who have no hope mourn. And I want to see this in light of last week, because I believe it is good and it is right to mourn. It is good, it is right to express our pain to God. But we also hold on to this reality that God is present, that he is our Redeemer. And it kind of seems here like speaking out of both sides of our mouth. We kind of look at Job and he's expressing this pain and frustration. God, where are you? I don't get what you're doing, but I know my witness is in heaven. God, this hurts. I don't know where you are. Why are you allowing this to happen? But I know that my Redeemer lives. And it seems like this back and forth, and we can almost see it as this double-mindedness, but I don't believe that that's what it is here. Because as we walk through this life of suffering and pain, as we walk through this broken world, the pain is real and the suffering is real. Our God is also real. Our Redeemer is also there. As we walk through our suffering, I have a picture, if you can put the first one up. Life can sometimes feel very broken. For anybody who's experienced any sort of pain, which is all of us, when it comes, it can feel as though our life is shattered. This is something that we can try to ignore, but we can't really ignore for very long. Sin has broken our world. Sin has devastated our world, and we don't have to look far to realize this. And there are a lot of answers that the world tries to give us as to how to fix this, about how to repair what's been broken. There are these quick fixes, the things that we can use to numb the pain. Things like alcohol and drugs, gambling, overeating, we could go on. Those things that even the world would say they aren't healthy, but they can just alleviate the pain just for a moment. But then the world will also try to communicate some long-term solutions to us. I want to be careful here because I think there are some phenomenal counselors out there. We have one who works here, but there's also some terrible counselors out there that bring worldly wisdom, worldly understanding of just look within yourself or redefine yourself. Self-help books. All sorts of ideas that the world will throw at us to tell us how do we fix what's been broken. Because even the world can't ignore the fact that things aren't as they should be. And it's easy to look at the world, to look at it from our perspective, to take into account the things that we're told and begin trying to put the pieces back together. If we can go to the next slide. And we can kind of create a little bit of a, maybe a little bit of a bowl. We put these pieces together as best as we can see. We look at things from our perspective when we try to get an understanding of how things got to where they were at and how we can move forward, how we can put the pieces back together. But that bowl isn't going to do much good as a bowl. You see, if we look at things from the perspective of what we can see, if we try to fix things, if we try to find a path forward based on the things that we can see, then we're going to come up short. We're told in 2 Corinthians that we are to look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. We have to fix our eyes on the things that are unseen. Now we hear this and a lot of times our immediate reaction is heaven. Again, our mind can jump to that future hope. The things that aren't seen, the future hope. And hear me out because what I'm gonna say could be misconstrued, so I'm gonna be careful here. Future hope can seem very distant. Something that is merely a future hope can seem very far away in the midst of suffering and pain. What good is that to me now? I'm hungry now, I'm starving now. What good is the description of a meal that I will one day have? Jesus offers us so much more than something that is merely a future hope. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't want to diminish that future hope. That's not what I want to do here. That hope that we have for the future is greater than we could even comprehend. But it is not only a future hope. It is a present hope in the here and now. in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of our pain, we find this present hope in the presence of God himself. We saw this last week as God met Job as he came to him out of the whirlwind. And as Christians, we understand that the Holy Spirit is with us. The Holy Spirit lives within us. And sadly, we can often take this for granted. It becomes something we just kind of get used to. Oh, yeah, I know God is with me. We're going to take a look at Romans chapter 8. You can, if you have your Bibles, go there. And in Romans 8, we get this picture of walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit. This reality that God's Spirit lives within us. And I want us to think about this for a moment from the perspective of those who first received this letter. Jews, who were used to God's presence only residing in the temple in Jerusalem. For generations, that's how they came near to the presence of God. They had to somehow get to Jerusalem, somehow get to the temple to offer their sacrifices. But now through Jesus, they are learning a brand new concept. Jesus has ushered in this brand new reality that the Spirit of God no longer just dwells in a building. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, the Spirit of God comes to dwell within us. No longer do we have to journey to a certain location. No longer do we have to pack everything up once a year to make it back to Jerusalem. But now the presence of God is with us, within us, as his children. Look with me at Romans chapter 8. We're starting in verse 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of our righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are not debtors. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. We see this reality here of the Spirit of Christ living within us. Those who have embraced Jesus, those who have accepted him as their Savior, the Spirit of Christ lives within us. And it's this beautiful reality that we are now children of God. We have been adopted into his family. And the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that same power is living within us. You see, this hope that we have, this future hope is no longer something that is just at a distance, but it is something that God has brought near to us. You see, before Jesus, the presence of God was in Jerusalem. The presence of God was in the temple. The hope was something that was far off. But Jesus has now brought it near. You see, as he brings his presence, as he brings that hope, it is now something that we taste and that we see. It is now something that we begin experiencing the first fruits of in our lives. That one day future hope isn't just something that we're guessing at. It isn't something that we're crossing our fingers, well, maybe hopefully it'll be what I think it'll be. But instead, Jesus has brought that future hope near for us to experience now. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, it says, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen." I don't know about you, but sometimes I find it hard to sing songs about the goodness of God. Like we sang this morning, "All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good." Now, with my spirit, with Paul, I rejoice in that reality. God is good. God is faithful. And I will declare that again and again and again. But in suffering and pain, it can be difficult. As we look at our pain, as we look at the struggle, and we say, "I don't see how this lines up. I don't understand how this pain can line up with God's goodness." And if we try to look at it based on the things that we can see, we won't understand it. If we try to look at it from just what we can see, if we try to put the pieces back together based on our own understanding, it will remain difficult to sing about the goodness of God. It will remain difficult to sing of his faithfulness. And so we must look to the things that are unseen. The suffering that we face doesn't always, we don't always get the answers that we want. We don't always get the response from God that we're looking for of the why is this happening or how long is this going to happen. Job never got the answers to his questions. He was never told why everything was taken away. He was never told why he God allowed him to be covered in sores. He never received the answers to his questions. But by the end, he's saying, "God, I'd heard of you with my ears, but now I have seen you." And it was in that encounter with God that he found hope. And so that's what I want to encourage us with this morning, is that in our suffering, in our pain, we don't always get the answers that we want. We don't always get a glimpse into the behind the scenes of what's going on. But God sees our pain. He sees our suffering, and he meets us exactly where we're at. You see, this isn't a far-off, distant hope that is vague and impersonal. But this is a hope that he has placed within us. So my struggles, my pain, your struggles, your pain, he sees it. Your individual pain and suffering, he sees it. And the hope that he brings is a unique hope that speaks to that pain, that speaks to that suffering. I want to read the beginning of the Beatitudes in Matthew from, it's the First Nations translation. This is a new translation that was put out. And I think it's just, it's beautiful the way that it words this. This is Matthew chapter 5, starting verse 3. Creator's blessing rests on the poor, the ones with broken spirits. The good road from above is theirs to walk. Creator's blessing rests on the ones who walk a trail of tears, for he will wipe the tears from their eyes and comfort them. The ones who walk a trail of tears, for he will wipe the tears from their eyes and comfort them. You see, in our suffering, in our pain, we have the privilege of seeing Jesus in a way that is so unique, in a way that is so personal. So, Christian suffering with cancer, Jesus is meeting you right now by his Spirit in a peculiar and a unique way. Christian suffering with broken relationships, Jesus is meeting you right now by his Spirit in a peculiar and a unique way. Christian suffering from the impact of abuse, Christian suffering with financial hardships, with identity crisis, Jesus is meeting you right now by his Spirit in a peculiar and a unique way. Did he cause these things? No, I don't believe that we can say that. They're a result of a fallen and a broken world. But he sees them, and he doesn't shy away from them. And so as we talked last week, don't be afraid to lament. Don't be afraid to cry out to him in your suffering and your pain and your questioning. Because as we take down those walls, as we remove the mask that we've been told we have to put on day in and day out, as we allow him to see those broken places, he meets us with a hope that is unique and a grace that speaks to that pain, that heartache, that loss. Psalm 73:26, it says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Sometimes that's a declaration. Sometimes that's a plea. Sometimes that's begging and tears. God, I need this to be true. Because if it isn't, then I don't have any hope. Because you see, when we bring our brokenness to Jesus, when we say, Jesus, I'm a mess. I'm broken and I can't pick up the pieces. I can't put it all together. He forms us into a beautiful masterpiece. I love this form of art. It's called kintsugi. It's a Japanese art form. And they take broken pottery and they use gold to put it back together. And I love this. I stole this. This example has been used many times. But I love this because I think it's such a beautiful picture of what Jesus does. You see, when we try to put the pieces together, we get a jumbled mess. But when we bring our brokenness to Jesus, when we allow him to take the pieces, he gets to work. He creates something unimaginable. He brings beauty from ashes. And as 2 Corinthians told us, we are being renewed day by day, and though our outer self is wasting away, we are each day, each moment, being given new life. Jesus doesn't want our hope to be wrapped up only in the future. He wants to bring that hope to us here and now. He wants to bring that hope right now in the most painful areas of our life and the deepest questions that we have. He wants to bring that hope, and he wants to take that brokenness and create beauty from it. And it's as we allow him to do that, as we surrender those things to him, that's when that future hope becomes all the more clear. In Romans 8, it goes on in verse 18, "For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." And you think, how could Paul say that? Because he just talked about the fact that the Spirit is within us. That hope has been placed within us. And as Jesus brings the first fruits of that hope within our lives, as we keep our eyes on the things that are unseen, that future hope becomes more and more clear. And so I want to ask you this morning, what brokenness are you holding on to? What brokenness are you keeping locked away, trying to make sense of on your own? What brokenness maybe do you think you have to get put back together before you can invite Jesus into those places? The enemy likes to tell us all sorts of lies about those things. He likes to condemn us. How could you still be holding on to that? How could you not have more faith? You've done something wrong. That's the only reason you're suffering. But who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't think he missed anything in there. And in case he did, he wrapped it up, nor anything else in all creation. Jesus sees our suffering. He sees our pain. He sees our brokenness. And he isn't asking us to get it all together before we come to him. And our brokenness will in no way come between us and his love. When Jesus draws near, when we invite him into those broken places, those ugly places, those places that we don't even like to go, he brings his love and his grace and his mercy. And it is a hope that is real. It is a hope that is personal. And it is a hope that meets every specific hurt, every specific pain, every specific suffering that we might face. And so this morning, I want to encourage you in those moments of pain and suffering, in those moments of, God, I just don't get what's going on. Be honest, be real, and trust that he meets you in that place. And he will take the brokenness and he will create beauty from it. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are good, that you are faithful, that nothing in all of creation will ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And we confess that when we get too focused on the here and now, when we get too focused simply on the things that we can see, we can lose sight of the hope that you have brought near to us. And so, Jesus, we invite you into those broken places. We invite you into those places of heartache and loss and brokenness. In those places where we say, God, I don't know where you were. I can't see you there. In those places where we say, God, I don't understand how you could ever bring good from that. We thank you, Jesus, that you are there, that you are present, that in our weeping and our rejoicing, you are there. In our pains and our sorrows and our rejoicings, you are there. That the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives within us. That you are bringing beauty from ashes. That you are our good, good Father who sees us and loves us and cares for us. And you take us by the hand. You wrap us in your arms. You say, I'm here. I'm with you. We thank you.